Like, have you met some of these people who are so educated, they got so many degrees, they know everything, but they're one of the most arrogant people you've ever met? We're going to talk about these people on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
There are some people out there who are so educated, who know so much about everything, yet when it comes to their character, they are a little bit off. And hopefully through the teaser, you may be thinking, do I know anyone like this? And if you don't know anyone, is that may be you? I know, let's talk about that on this episode. Inverse, I want to welcome my friends here. We are in this arc of education. We also have, if you don't notice, we have a chair missing, and we have Callie, who's streaming in from afar. So we're really grateful to have her as well. Israel, if you can pray for us, we'll get started right away.
Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for this topic that we have to study. We pray for your blessing at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Callie, first question goes to you. We've been talking a lot of things about education, and maybe kind of update us, and maybe someone's watching for the first time, and they're like, oh, education, I don't want to talk about that, I want to hear stuff about that, but give us a synopsis so far.
Yeah, so we're definitely not talking about education in probably the conventional sense of talking about curriculum or things like that, but we're talking about the true purpose of education, its origin with God himself, and how it involves more than just knowledge, and we're going to talk more about that here. But I think a highlight for me thus far has been the mindset of moving from selfishness to unselfishness as modeled by Christ himself, and that education even changes your worldview and doesn't just accrue knowledge. But I think we're going to talk about that more today. But that's been a highlight for me so far.
And then, you know, in regular secular education or the institution of education, there are materials that you learn. And in many ways, it's detached from this, the meaning of life and purpose,
right,
and these things that have value. And so today we're going to talk about the element of character, on character. And hopefully, please don't think too critically of your friends that you have and people that you have. We all have character deficiencies, and we are all on this journey and walk together to become better people, as they say. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 is where our text of choice is, from verse 5 onwards. And Siku, can you read that for us?
Sure. It reads, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble."
Okay, we'll stop there. We were going to 15, but Siku gave us extra truth.
Above and beyond. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, this is a very valuable passage. Yeah, it's kind of a highlight in the book of Proverbs. And I didn't prepare you guys for this question, but just curious. This question just came to my mind already. You guys are freaking out. Any insights? You know why wisdom is female, and this is kind of the. I think gender does play a factor in this approach to wisdom. Siku, you are responding aggressively.
No, I'm just smiling because wisdom is female.
Wisdom is female.
Yeah. Everybody knows that women are smarter than men. That's what she wants to say, you know. Everybody
wisdom is female, but are you saying that female, all females are wise? Is that the corollary that you are establishing?
Oh, really? Okay. I accept that.
All right. So, yeah, no, why female? Why any insights on the female motif here, Israel?
I have no idea.
No idea. You know, Callie?
I'm sorry.
She doesn't know either.
Yeah, it's my take on this, and if you read the entire book of Proverbs, this is a father giving his son wisdom, and the son has come about age to live life, and then there's actually two women that are interspersed in this first section of Proverbs. You have Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom, and he's just using this allegory of the pursuit or dating or this of courtship. Yeah. As a motif of life itself. And so you can choose a very wisdom or you can choose folly. And he's just going back and forth, one chapter, another, one chapter, another. And I don't think there's any, you know, broad gender statements that are being made here. He's just using this as an analogy for the pursuit of life.
Yeah.
So anyway, any insights from... Oh,
well,
sorry.
I think as you're speaking, I thought, yeah, it either has to do with a girlfriend or with a mom. Mm. I think it does make sense what you're saying, that wisdom is not something just to be obtained, but it's something that must be loved. It must be cared for. It must be preserved, treasured, as a man would try to preserve and treasure a relationship with a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting that, at least if you read chapters 1 through, I think, 9, is it, that wisdom is a gentle force. Mm-hmm. She's there. She blesses. Whereas folly is aggressive. And in many ways, she's the one that's pursuing the protagonist in the story in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so any insights that you see in the long passage that Siku read for us right now, what do you see here about wisdom?
Well, we have to, I guess, center the fact, why is it that we're studying, you know, this passage on wisdom when the topic that we're addressing is character?
Yeah.
And so I think the most important thing that we need at this time to establish our program is what is wisdom? Mm-hmm. What is wisdom defined as? Here it'll tell us different things in terms of what wisdom does and what we need to do to obtain wisdom. But wisdom is essentially the right use of power, right? Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Okay.
We can obtain knowledge by reading. We can obtain knowledge through understanding something. But the question is, what do we do with that knowledge? That's what wisdom is. So wisdom is the right use of knowledge.
So knowledge is like actual facts, it's data, it's
information.
Yeah. And maybe that's the primary mode of which secular education is focused on.
Right.
Yeah. And then wisdom is what? Elaborate.
Wisdom is how do you use that? So, knowledge is 2 + 2 = 4. Then the question is, how do I use that information? Or what I do with that information will then be either good wisdom or a lack of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the very same way, that's what character is. Character is the power to control power, right? And
say that one more time.
Character is the power. Yeah, the ability to control ability, the power to control power.
The ability to control
ability. And so in from this perspective, wisdom and character are parallel.
Mm-hmm.
A person with good character is a person with the ability to have wisdom. A person with no character is a person that abuses knowledge.
Okay.
And so that's why I think studying this topic of wisdom is critical.
Okay. All right. Kelly.
Just a practical example that Israel may or may not agree with me on is, this is coming to my mind, is I used to teach a communications class to high schoolers, and one of the things that we focused on was how to have high-stakes conversations. So when people are very emotional or there's a lot at stake or people are easy to be offended, and we spent a lot of time on that. And I had one student who got, I think, like an A- in the curriculum, but she did it so well in her actual life. So she would come and she'd actually apply it, not for homework, not for an assignment, but because she wanted to do better in her relationships. And there's another student who got every single chapter question correct, 100%, beautifully written, but there was zero application in their life. And so that's the disconnect. You know, one is knowledge, like, yeah, I read the book, yeah, I get it, I can regurgitate information to my teacher, that's fine. Another person was like, okay, I want to actually apply this. And so, you know, the difference, knowledge, you can know a lot about how to handle conversations, and that's knowledge.
Yes.
But it only turns into wisdom in your character when it's reflected in your actual life.
The two necessarily don't parallel each other, yeah? You can have one
right.
or the other. You can have both. You can have neither, but the two are not equated to each other. It seems like the knowledge yeah. is commensurate. You can measure knowledge, but wisdom may be a little bit different, yeah?
I just wanted to, I mean, just to nuance maybe what Israel was saying on the wisdom, character, relationship. Because in the Bible, it talks about the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be wise as God is wise, or there's a wisdom that is not of God.
Mm.
And I think the difference is, so like knowledge, you get information and you get, you know, data. And then wisdom is how you're going to use it. And then character determines whether you're using it for good or you're using it for bad.
Exactly.
Because you can gain like all this information and you know how to analyze the stock market and mm-hmm. et cetera, and then wisdom to apply that knowledge to make money, but then how you're going to use that is going to be determined by the character that is underlying.
Mm-hmm.
So just I guess adding that nuance
yes,
to
yes.
what it is.
It was very interesting that I believe one of the Ivy League schools many years ago, they were seeing that many of their graduates
yep.
were going and they were getting becoming all criminals, and they had a high and they were kind of embarrassed, like, hey, this is one of the world's elite schools and many of our students are going to jail. And so they had to enact some kind of ethics program to see, with all this knowledge that they acquire, they're using it for nefarious means, mm-hmm. and it's becoming problematic, not a contribution to society, but actually a deterrent.
Yeah, negative. And what I love about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom mm-hmm. is the principal thing, therefore mm-hmm. get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Scripture, there's a hierarchy to what's important. When we talk about education, In many, we go to school to get informed, you know, and that's why the majority of our classes, no matter where you go across the world, you're getting information.
Mm.
And the more information you have, the more educated you become.
Mm.
And that's why, you know, that's what makes the difference between a great school internationally and a not so great school that is more localized. Great schools have the ability to give you access to more information or people that have more information. But Proverbs says the principal thing, the most important thing, is not actually information, but it's actually the development of the ability to use the information that you do have.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have a person with very small amount of information that is very, very wise,
mm-hmm.
and the reverse could also be true. Someone that has a lot of knowledge but very, very small amount of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. By now you may be thinking, man, I want more of this wisdom. How to acquire this wisdom? After the break.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. We are in the midst of talking about wisdom. Another word for wisdom may be street smarts as opposed to book smarts, if you kind of bring it down. And some people are book smarts. They can read one thing and they memorize it forever, but they have no idea how to use it. Whereas there are people who are street smarts. They don't know much, but they know how life on the streets. Anyway, I don't have a lot of street smarts. Let's go to Proverbs 4. And let's look at some items, elements. Let's break down that text a bit. There is this, as you're all talking, I'm like, I'm thinking, I want more wisdom. But what other attributes do you see in chapter 4 about wisdom?
I just wanted to say to, mm-hmm. to answer your desire, your yearning, is in verse 5, the Bible says get wisdom. So you want it, it's something that is actually attainable. You
mm-hmm.
can
mm-hmm.
get wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's
Amen.
Hope for you.
Yeah, thank you.
And it goes on in verse 5, it says, don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Or don't forget. In other words, not only is it accessible, but is always present, you know, and wisdom is not, the reason why we don't have wisdom, according to this text, is not so much because we can't find the mountain in which it's found, or we don't know where to dig to find it. The reason why we don't have wisdom is because we don't desire it. We don't, even though it's all around us, we don't value it the way we should value it,
mm-hmm.
or we forsake it, or we turn away from it. We ignore wisdom whenever it becomes available to
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sally?
Something I see in verses 8 and 9, in addition to, you know, what we've already said about how you want to get wisdom, but even after you have it, how you should treat that experience and how you should treat that. So exalting her, and she will place on your your head an ornament of glory she will deliver to you. So there's blessings and there's a benefit in not just getting it, but in retaining it and seeing the value that it has in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If there's something in verse 6 that we can also bring out, it says, do not forsake her and she will preserve thee.
Mm.
It says, love her and she will keep thee. You know, wisdom is like a treasure that through neglect can be lost. And, the Bible talks about these different things. You have the parable of the lost coin that is essentially like wisdom. It's something that the woman loses the coin because of neglect. And in a very similar case, God gives us wisdom. He constantly gives us the ability to live life through providence, through the study of His Word, through open door, closed doors. He gives us opportunity to exercise wisdom. But when we don't treasure it, when we don't love it, when we neglect it, then we lose it like this woman loses her her coin in Luke chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so wisdom is something that can be lost. And whenever we don't have wisdom, it's because we've neglected the cultivation of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to point to in verse 8. I think, you know, we read about Israel is reading verse 6 that she will preserve you and she will keep you.
Mm-hmm.
But in verse 8, it talks about exalt her and she will promote you and mm-hmm. she will bring you honor when you embrace her. And the Bible story that comes to my mind is about Solomon. And how Solomon, you know, was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But in the way that he exercised his wisdom, it was something that promoted him in the eyes of all the world. So you have people coming from all over to see his riches, to see this man who is so wise. And, you know, I think his life is a testimony to the fact that wisdom, when exercised, it does promote you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of an illustration here where I had to go pick someone up in downtown Detroit. And this person was coming in on a train, and he totally calculated the best time, the best train fare. It was the cheapest, but it was coming in at 1 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, This is downtown Detroit. If you know your geography, maybe not the friendliest of cities, and especially where the train station's at. I mean, if you're living there, God bless you. No offense, but
we love the D.
We love the hey Motown. But just kind of an interesting time of day to be coming in. And I said, hey, this person thought that they were doing the smart analysis. Right? I mean, it was the best fare, best time, most efficient. It was best time for someone to pick him up. I had to go pick them up. I didn't think it was the best time. But hey, there's no traffic. And I'm just thinking, hey, this was a very unwise move. This is not something that you can do research on. This is just kind of life. This is just, and I'm thinking here, I'm going to verse 13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. This is not a exaggeration. Sometimes wisdom can really save your life. And I'm thinking, you know, I arrive there 1 o'clock in the morning, and then there's just interesting characters all around. I'm like, Lord, judge not, lest you be judged. But then you want to be safe, and you know, you don't want to be, you know, you want to be wise.
You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the
shadow of death, and by God's grace we got out of there. But there was a dissonance there. There's a dissonance.
Yeah.
And wisdom can truly save your life. I want to go back to what you said, Israel, before. That was very interesting. The ability to control ability. So how does one, I mean, this sounds like a super, super hero ability.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways it is. How does one get this? How does one develop it? Let's get into practicals.
Well, the Bible tells us, and we've talked about the fact that it's available.
Mm.
It's just the value of it.
Mm.
And I think that's why we don't have it. We don't have it because we value it. Now, we talk about, oh, yes, of course I value it. Of course I want the ability to control ability. Who doesn't want that?
Mm-hmm.
But when it, and this is, you know, in our previous episode, we talked about the uniqueness of Adventist education. And this is it.
Mm-hmm.
The uniqueness of Adventist education is that we have a hierarchy philosophically, whether it's in practice, it's a different conversation. But there's a hierarchy to education that the Bible produces.
Mm.
And this is why it's important that we talked about the first components of education early on. Knowledge, information, whatever it is, you know, truth, all of that, there's a monopoly on that God has. right? But the thing is that information and all these knowledge things, those are things that God has at will and can give whenever he wants. I mean, he's abundant. He's the source. He never runs out of that. If God wants to give us any kind of information, he has the immediate ability to do this without any hard work, right? So God doesn't really care about knowledge and information because he can give that to us. Now, the problem with education with society today is that this has become the ultimate value. We value intelligence in this world. And if you're not smart, if you're dumb, then I don't want to be associated with you. And so everything in school points towards the acquirement of intelligence. And this is what we value. We value intelligence. That's why we read the books. That's why we, you know, have the big libraries in our schools and so forth. And so we say we value wisdom, but we don't. And so in Scripture and through the Adventist unique structure of education, actually, information, scientific information, or literary acquirements, these are at the bottom of the totem pole.
Hierarchy.
Yeah, of the hierarchy. And so when you think about it, information is not the most important thing, but we've swallowed that pill that it is. Above information, we have power. And power is how we use, it has to do with how we use the information that we have. Now, the problems in the world today have to do with the fact that people in power do not know how to use it. And, you know, when
they used, if they don't use the power that's rightfully theirs, or if they see the power that the power that they don't have, there are issues of character there.
And the world collapses, right? When you think about, you know, places around the world that have abused power, people have died. Some people are living in very rich areas while the countries are dying. This has to do with the bad use of power. And it, from the biblical perspective, power is obviously more important than information, because people without information still rise to power. And so what God ultimately says, the principal thing is wisdom. There's something that supersedes all of these things, and that is the power of wisdom, or the power of character. God says, I need people of character that I can entrust with power and that I can entrust with information. And because we said, our, no matter how much we talk about our love for wisdom, because our affections are set towards power and towards intelligence, we neglect wisdom as much as we say we care for it. And that's why we don't have it.
Siku.
The answer that came to, I mean,
yes.
I can't top that, but
you don't have to top it.
Yeah,
it's okay. That is a knowledge. Share your wisdom.
Share your wisdom.
You don't have to pop. It's not a power.
It's not struggle. A competition.
Yes, right. Yes.
Amen. But the text that came to my mind is actually in Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 5 to 7, when you talk about how do we acquire this wisdom, right? And verses 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And then do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And this being wise in your own eyes seems to be contrasted with fearing the Lord and departing from evil. So I know we already spoke about it earlier on, but this relationship with God really is the beginning of acquiring the wisdom, that the right kind of wisdom, to be able to use the information that we glean or the knowledge that we have in the right way, and starts with a fear of the Lord.
While you guys are talking, I'm thinking of also 2 Peter chapter 1. You mentioned the hierarchy there, and the hierarchy actually continues, but it does parallel with what Israel and Siku was just saying. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, persevering godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. This parallels this hierarchy that you're mentioning. Yeah, knowledge is low on that totem pole, and it goes to godliness and kindness and love, which are character attributes.
And self-control, yeah.
Yeah. This is very good. Kelly, you are nodding. Yes.
I'm just listening. Sorry, I don't want to take control.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good.
This is where God's master plan of education becomes exciting for us, or at least for me. In this world, we clearly have followed the wrong model of education. Mm. From the very, very beginning, we've promoted people that have the ability to obtain or to receive or to hold on to knowledge.
Mm.
These people have been promoted. And if you have the ability to pass certain exams, then you can get into certain universities. If you have the ability to get into certain universities, then you can get certain jobs. If you have the ability to get certain jobs, then you can get promoted for other jobs. And you can get more money. And something that really, really shocked me and angered me like, you know, never before was when we had a few years ago, I think 2006, an economic crisis globally, and especially in the United States, during a time of economic crisis, the gas prices went up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, this is incredible because clearly the people, the CEOs that are running these organizations are very wealthy. Mm-hmm. If there's any time in Earth's history for someone to say, I'm going to take a hit. You know, I'm going to take a personal hit. Obviously, I have a lot more money than the people who need gas money to go to work. I'm going to take a pay decrease, even just a pay decrease or just forget my bonuses, so that I can help society
get through this.
But none of that happened. Instead of that, gas prices went up. They saw that as an opportunity to make extra money.
Mm.
Why? Because there's a lack of character. And this is why the Bible says, and as Adventists, we value this component of character, because it is character that provides, not politics or religion, but it is character that provides a counter influence to the way in which society has functioned, which breaks itself down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the value of education is extremely important. And it should be taught systematically in our schools. But if not, we should be engaged in it on a day-to-day and personal
level.
Which,
just to make your point, but to do the flip side, these CEOs are abusing the power, so then you have the reaction, and it's like, hey, we must bring them into check, but they're also acquiring power with a lack of the same character,
right.
And Christians are stuck in this power play between these two entities, and the pull is to either go one side or the other. I don't know about you, I've been very inspired to seek wisdom rather than knowledge and power, and how to, as the Lord blesses, to be able to have the goodness and the kindness and the godliness to be able to have the ability to control ability. That's our prayer from our table. Hopefully that's your prayer out there. God bless you. We'll see you next week here at Inverse. By the way, we want you to visit InverseBible.org for our Bible study guides, and to see the rest of our episodes, go to HopeTV.org/Inverse. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.